Shut up. The footy's on Triple M. Triple M footy starts your weekend early.
How good is footy?
With every massive moment.
When you're hot, you're hot.
This
couldn't be more excited.
Is the Thursday Rub.
I'll just talk about myself and we'll be all right.
Hop on down to Thirsty Camel Bottle Shops for unseriously good Easter deals. Drink responsibly.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Oh, what a big night for footy tonight. An absolute cracker. Huge game for both clubs, the Brisbane Lions and Collingwood. Zipping to the Lions, zipping through the Pies. Who would have thought after the greatest grand final some have seen ever last year in 2023 for these two great clubs. This is the Triple M Thursday Rub for Thirsty Camel. Daisy Thomas, good evening to you.
Great to be alongside you again, Baz. They let us loose last Sunday down at Ballarat.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
Who would have thought that deadly combination has been sent to another state together to just tear it apart tonight.
Yeah, we fronted the hearing, but we were found innocent. Kate McCarthy, good evening to you.
Good evening up there, guys. Yes, I'm excited for this game, but also excited to finally be back alongside Daisy. They've tried to keep us apart this whole season, and we just said, you know what, we won't take that any longer. We need to be put on the same show together.
Couldn't agree more, Kate.
Jay Clark, good evening to you. Been a quiet week?
Just been quite relaxed. I got a banana lounge in the Herald Sun office. I just sort of lay back on that at times and sip a cool little fruit juice. So, no, it's been quite quiet, Barry, to be honest. Nothing much happening. Been an unbelievable week in the world of AFL. And, the battle lines have been drawn, and we'll talk about it shortly.
We certainly will. Days, always nice to travel together. You learn a lot about people when you travel together, don't you?
Well, you do, and you probably figure out a pecking order and where you sit pretty quickly, both figurative and literally. Because I was sitting in 30D, Baz.
Yes, you were.
Which genuinely backs onto the shitters on the on the aircraft. So,
it does.
Yes, the quiche that was served wasn't received well by some. I can report that much. But I did know, getting on the front, which was a bit of a flex, that Triple M's greats, and one of is Brian Taylor. He was firmly slotted and not moving from 1A.
So, rightly so.
And I thought maybe, you know, after 5 or 6 years now in the caper, I might have got to an exit row, but it hasn't looked likely, and I'm 30D again on the way home tomorrow.
Well, Days, at least you're not 5 or 6 years in and they're still announcing you as new. So that's me. Welcome to Kate. She's new. I've been doing this for 6 years, but thank you very much for having me.
Well, here's one thing, though. So BT, you expected. He's a bit older. He's been around the traps for a long time. He's earned the right to fly up the front. And, you know, although he's, you know, does roaming Brian, he's probably not one of the people's champs. So it's, you know, you call it for what you will, but Barry Denner, you are the people's caller. You are the people's champ.
Yeah, I don't even get paid. I do it for hamburgers and the people.
Well, that's a complete crock off. No. Because tomorrow I have it on really strong authority.
Yes.
That you will be just waiting for the ropes to click as you position yourself with a champagne and a croissant in 1B next to BT.
The issue was, Jay, in all fairness to me, I was sent up there once. And it's one of those situations that once you go up there, Kate, you can't. I just can't look back anymore, but I think I'm a good person because when I go up there, I do look back and empathise with everybody else. So that makes me a good person.
Well, I heard a whisper, Barry, that too, just on your way into the Gabba today, you know, in acknowledgement of your newfound sort of status and celebrity position in Triple M and general commentary iconism.
I like it. Iconism.
I've made that up.
Yeah, it's good.
That you were spotted signing multiple autographs and doing selfies. And I think someone even asked you for an item of your clothing. That was the obsession that the public have with you. Is that all of that right?
Jay, to be fair on me and Daisy, that was forced on me.
The gentleman what was thrust the clothes?
Thrust the signature thing in front of me.
That's a pen.
Yes. That's right.
It was, again, rather humbling when I'm sort of strutting in. The Pies are in town. I've got the shoulders back, the chest out, fresh trim of the beard. Got a few rays up there by the pool this afternoon.
Yes,
thought,
you did.
This is a bit of Daisy time. And the bloke comes stamming past me, nearly gives me windburn, straight to Mr. Denner with a pen and paper.
Yeah,
and it did say icons, commentary, icons, and personalities.
Yeah, no, I'm a great believer and you need to stay connected with everybody.
And we know what to respect up in Brisbane, don't we, Baz?
Right,
we do
right.
love our Baz up there. Yeah,
enough
for sure.
About me anyway. What about you, Daisy? You're having you've got a little box on happening in about 6 days.
We
with Swanee.
Yes, Gather Round is here and we're sort of kicking it off on a Wednesday night. The gathering over there in Adelaide, it's going to be good fun. It's going to be packed out. We're at Adelaide 36ers Arena, and I'm really looking forward to it. I've done the work. Now I'm just sort of, this is a little training off period. Not at a good time with Easter, a long weekend, a lot of chocolate, and I do have a slightly sweet tooth. I also like dim sims. They're not related to Easter, but I'll probably have some of them. But yeah, no, it's not far away now, Mr. Denner.
I got a question for you, Daisy, because I'll be honest, when we started working together a couple of years ago, you were sort of rocking a triple XL shirt. I thought it was at least a triple XL, certainly a healthy double XL. But now you're svelte and you're slim and you're lean and you're jumping around up there sort of shadow boxing. How much weight have you actually lost?
By the time the fight kicks off, I'll be the best part of 12 or more kilos lighter than when I returned from London. We all know the famous Heathrow injection where you walk in and come out a bit puffy, look like you swallowed a couple of pillows. That might have hit me harder than most. But the training has been fun. And the more you do of it and the fitter you get, the harder you can go. And I've really enjoyed that. So, yeah, it is going to be a good time.
And, Jay, just quickly, what size do you reckon I wear?
Whatever. No, yeah,
you're not allowed to say. You're not allowed to say that, Jay. I'm looking at. I go down the Collingwood team sheet here and their weight. Paddy Lipinski, he's been on a good diet. He's 0 kilograms. So is Jordan Goey. We're not allowed to talk about this anymore. Expect a call from HR.
Are you backing our man in, Kate? Do you think Daisy will get the job done? I mean, you work very closely with Daisy. And you know, didn't behind, I mean, he's seen at the front and everyone hears him.
Kate,
and sees him. And
use your head here.
He's
with
very, very nice guy and all
look,
that. But
he's got
we
a
know
tough
he's a
matchup,
nut.
Hasn't he? He's got a tough matchup. If I was looking at that card, the two people I wouldn't want to fight would be Dane Swan and Mitch Robinson because they are genuinely just a bit bunter.
I like it.
So I'm wishing him all the best. You know me, I'm just going to be a mum sitting in the crowd just hoping that no one gets hurt. But considering it's boxing, that's very likely that someone's going to get hurt. I just hope it's not our days.
Oh, I certainly hope. I tell you how the strategy of this fight's going to play out, Baz. Dane Swan is going to stand in the middle of the ring and from the start just try and land the big ones from early. And then Daisy with his newfound svelte figure will be prancing around like Peter Rabbit in the ring. He'll be like bopping around and circ doing all that sort of stuff and try and tie Swanee. It'll be the old-fashioned rope-a-dope. He will try and rope-a-dope Swanee. He'll be trying to land the heavy blows early. And then our man, Daisy, late in the third round, will and then get him and he'll fall over. It'll be the old-fashioned rope-a-dope.
You should have been my coach. We went with a big dive in about the 37th JC. But, the rope-a-dope also sounds good. Hey, you can see that video the camera pick, the photo, I think you call that, of Baz up on the Triple M socials now.
And, Daisy, if all else fails and you have no other way out, just bite his ear off and they'll stop the fight.
Yeah, right.
No, I think he's tracking well because I mentioned Swanee's name in the car on the way here and he started to break into a sweat. So I think he's okay. He's feeling pretty good. As we said off the top, cannot believe, really, when you look at it, these two clubs and where they're at after what was one of the greatest grand finals we've ever seen last year. Let's just have a listen to some of the latter highlights of that game.
78-74, Collingwood up 9:15 on the clock. Brisbane need a mark. Cameron Maynard. Maynard, Cameron. Quainer, Cameron. Cameron. Cameron goes it. Charlie Cameron. Brisbane lead it by 2 points.
Lions hit the front. Nick Dacos gets to Pendlebury. They go forward here, the Magpies. Majacek. Gardner with a spoil. Here's Nick Dacos. Oh. Clever handle. Got it to DeGoey. Quick reply coming up. Change number 10.
Sidebottom.
He's given away another 50.
It's 50 for Sidebottom. He'll end up 55 from home, I reckon. A 4-point lead to Collingwood. 4:38 on the clock. It's going to take absolutely everything Steel Sidebottom has got. Hits 50. Drives it Sidebottom. Oh. Sidebottom drives it. They drive it forward. McCluggage centering block and they take him up. They can. Joe plays on. He plays on. Joe Zanetti kicks it. 4-point margin. Clock stops at 1:33. They're just about there. Collingwood a mark here. And it's job done. They drive it to the line. 2 seconds on the clock. McCreary goes hard. Siren. The king to the close finish. And the king to the AFL. Collingwood a premiers.
Oh, Baz, hairs on the back of your neck, goosebumps. On your arms, the goosebumps everywhere. What a grand final it was. Absolutely incredible. The whole lead-up, the way the Pies got through the final series, falling in against a couple of sides, coming up against the rampaging Brisbane Lions. And Well, it was almost meant to be in the end, the way that it happened out for the Pies. 50 metres late in the game for side bottom, a play on advantage, called given up the other end. Just all the little things had to go right, and for the Pies they did.
But an extraordinary situation now with both teams winless and season on the line. So history says, or the data says, that if you start the season 0-3, it's almost impossible to make finals. And Collingwood, they lose tonight, they go 0-4. Yeah, you go to press conferences and you speak to coaches, and you ask them, is this game bigger than normal? Like, does this mean more? Is this game more important? They look at you like you're stupid. Daisy and Kate, will the Collingwood and Brisbane Lions players be running out tonight knowing the stakes and the significance of this game? This is surely a bigger game than normal.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it definitely is a bigger game than normal. And I think coaches, coaching staff, they run that narrative in the way that you want to play your system week in, week out, obviously. With that real preconceived idea is if we put more stress on this game and then next week we're playing against an opponent, we're sitting fourth, they're sitting 12th, they won't get up for the game, blah, blah, blah. That's the coaching line. But as a player, you know, like you absolutely know that tonight going into this game, both teams, they need to bring their A game. They need to dig in, reflect on the things that didn't work or haven't worked the last couple of weeks. And they're well aware, not even in the context of the season, but just this game is really important tonight for a team to walk away with a win, but also knowing that their system can stand up, because both of them have had questions around sort of things that they've got right, things that they've got wrong this year. And yeah, I just think when we looked at this fixture, when would we have ever thought this would be 12 versus 15th? Thursday of Easter weekend.
Amazing. Yeah, it's a crazy setup. I think for the Pies, they have to look at it as a mini final, because if they don't, it's season near on done. Zipping for Hawks next week, then a bye. It's going to be very tough for them with the evenness of the competition. So when they walk out tonight, when they walk up the race and the camera pans to them, I don't want to see the smiles. I know we saw it on grand final day and it was, you know, it was still a little bit too happy for me. I know you want to be relaxed and enjoy it, but tonight I want to see like the real intent of, yes, we're enjoying it, but we're also here to get the job done. We've got an edge about us. We haven't been hard enough. We haven't been hard enough on each other, and we haven't been good enough for the first 3 weeks. So tonight, we go out there up against, backs up against it up here at the Gabba, against a side who very rarely gets beaten up here, and they need to provide a supreme effort, play good team footy, which has been lacking, and just enjoy the fact that the contest first will bring the joy after the match.
Go back to 2010, Daisy. You lifted the cup. Ross Lyon said you're the number one player in the game. 2011, people forget this. The Collingwood side in 2011 was invincible. Your average winning margin over the first 16 rounds was like 60 points. You come out and smashed everyone. Your bellies weren't full after that cup year. There's been questions about that, the premiership hangover for this Collingwood side. How did you frame it? How did you go whack after winning the flag last in 2010?
Well, we rocked up the first day of pre-season and Mick Malthouse just said, right, I hope you've all had a great summer. Yep, you won the premiership. Good. No one gives a stuff. You can look at that at the rest of and the rest of your accolades when you retire. For now, we've got work to do, and you experienced it. For those who did, back to work, because your spot's now on the line. There's other blokes trying to take it. And we did. We got to work. Unfortunately, there was a better side throughout the year in Geelong that we just couldn't figure out a way to beat. We nearly got it done on grand final day, except Tomahawk turned into Wayne Carey and Stevie Johnson were smart enough to get the ball off him, and Ben Reed still hasn't lived it down. But apart from that, it is hard. It's hard to get up week in, week out. But for the Pies tonight, the equation becomes pretty simple and the motivation should be right in front of them.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Preview before the Brisbane and Collingwood game here tonight. It's massive at the Gabba. This is Triple M Thursday Rub for Thirsty Camel. Daisy Thomas in the house, Kate McCarthy, and Jay-Z Clark. Jay-Z, let's get up to date with the drug scandal coming out of Melbourne. Coaches have had their say today. Everyone's had their say.
Yeah, it's been a massive 48 hours, really, hasn't it, in the AFL world? And there's been two clear and distinct sides being taken. There's those like Eddie Maguire and even Max Gawn on the Marty Shigold show this morning on Triple M, sort of call for tougher penalties and a more punitive model, sort of more of a deterrent for AFL players who are going through these off-the-book tests and faking injuries potentially to try and dodge the tests and heavy sort of WADA sanctions over illicit drug use, whether there's others like the AFL and the AFLPA are saying this is a medical model, it's to support the players, those who are having genuine problems and mental health issues, and if we do make it tougher, then they're just going to walk away from it entirely, and then we are putting the playing cohort, or at least some of those people, at risk. So there's really two clear sides to this debate, and a lot of emotion, a lot of strong opinion. Clearly, let's have a listen first of all to Max Gawn and his comments on Marty Shergold this morning about how angry and frustrated he was at these revelations.
In the last 24 hours, I've gone from angry and surprise to I like that the doctors step in at strike one, and I think that's a great thing about our policy is we're there to help rather than we're there to scapegoat. Like. Mm-hmm. I get there might be people taking the piss within this, but if we're catching the majority that need the help, the
you're
addiction,
helping a young kid out addiction, who's made a mistake health, on the weekend, that kind of thing.
If we're helping them by having a policy, because a lot of other codes don't have a policy at all in this space.
Mm.
We have a policy. It's got holes in it galore.
Massive.
But we have a policy, and it's catching people along the way and being able to rehabilitate them. I like that. The deterrent's not there, or it's fading. So something needs to be bigger potentially on the first strike.
So he wants Max Gawn, one of the most respected voices in the playing group, along with Eddie Maguire, of course, the former Collingwood president. Daisy, your man back in the day, wants a bigger penalty, a bigger deterrent for players who, as he says, might be taking the mickey. What say you, Kate McCarthy and Dale Thomas? Do we need to get tougher on these players taking the mickey and gaming the system?
I think the problem that I have with what sort of has been raised is the preparation of the players. If they're undertaking a test during the week and saying that it wouldn't be out of their system, say, by a Friday game, generally speaking, cocaine, if that's the drug that we're talking about, which it most likely is out of your system in sort of 48 hours. So my concern is the playing cohort that are taking part in recreational drug use Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of a week when they have a game. Yeah. That's the issue that I have. And that's a real concern from a well-being and welfare point of view. If a player is doing that, that is a concern. My understanding of the, I guess, code and policy in place is that then a player is given the support, the means to, I guess, access psychologists, giving them a lot of support in that area, intervention if it's needed. I think that's what needs to happen. I don't think the public needs to know that that happened. I think if they're putting their hand up, they're getting tested, they're withdrawing from the game, they've done the right thing in that regard. Obviously, not the initial part. I don't agree with that, that being the right thing. But in any job, in any occupation, if you were going to go to work and you knew you were going to fail a test of any regard, so pilots need to be zero blood alcohol level when they fly a plane. If a pilot went out the night before they had a flight, yes, it's a shift at work, they did the wrong thing, they had a boozy, a massive night, they would not rock up to work, test positive, and get fired. They would call in sick and they would take the day off. How is this any different?
Yeah, and it's potentially, there's a risk of being made public. Daisy Thomas, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, we've heard the phrase medical model. I think it needs to be sort of grasped under medical, mental health and well-being. We want to first and foremost make sure the person's all right. And there's a lot of talk about what's to happen. It needs to be tougher for a first strike. But there's nobody really presenting at the minute a better argument than that with any sort of steps in place, what that's going to look like. And that's where the AFL need to go and work with clubs, players, and a broad spectrum of players too. Don't just get the blokes out the front who are your clean skins, who, you know, have never made a mistake in their life, who are the ones that, you know, are setting all the good examples. Speak to a couple of the players that have fallen through the cracks or have found it difficult and go to them for reasons as to, all right, well, what was your mindset? Why did you do it? Why would you risk it? You know, what can we do going forward to prevent this? I've got no issues with the first strike being a tougher penalty and a greater sanction, if you will, however that looks.
Currently,
but
I don't think
that you give the public access to numbers, to information, to players, because, you know, we've seen it in the AFL. As soon as somebody is blasted across the front page, whether it be, you know, Jack Ginnivan had his moment, Bailey Smith as well, with social media and all of that at the moment, it is just relentless. And that's, you know, that should be near on deterrent enough. But, yeah, I'm all for this progressing, but how it happens, I don't know.
The AFL has spoken to all 18 club CEOs this afternoon and said they don't want to go to a more punitive model. They will stay a supportive welfare model. So that's the indication at this stage.
Yeah, I just think the thing that needs to be considered most is the education around it, as Daisy said, like educating the player, educating the choice, understanding why the choice has been made as well and where that's come from. Because at the end of the day, these players are young, they're inexperienced, they've come out of school and they've got a large income, some of them, in stages of their life where they're not mature enough to make the choices that some of us are when we reflect back on our lives.
Yeah, no doubt mistakes are definitely being made. Ross Lyon, who spoke today, saying he would like an overall snapshot. If there was the data released on the number of tests or positive tests, that would help inform the picture. So no naming of names, but more detail in the general snapshot.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
This is the Thursday Triple M Rub for Thirsty Camel. Kate McCarthy's here. Jay-Z Clark with, oh, he's just got some real blowing news happening right at the moment. And Daisy Thomas is here as well. Jay-Z, we are discussing the horrible word, drugs, that's infiltrated our great game again at AFL level. The coaches, Sam Mitchell had a little bit to say.
Yeah, it's interesting. Their opinion, I think you can trace this back to Nathan Buckley in 2015, Paul Roos, a former Melbourne coach, Luke Beveridge, I think, a couple of years ago. They all want more information. So as it stands at the moment, it's really the player-club-doctor relationship and the confidentiality is bound in them. So if a player's had a big night on a Wednesday, they pee in the cup, it lights up like a Christmas tree, and the doctor says, well, just pretend you've got a hamstring injury and I'll look after the rest. So the doctor then goes to the coach and says, sorry, Joe Bloggs has got a hamstring injury. He can't play this weekend. So I'm uncomfortable with the fact that the club doctors are, I don't know, is it lying to the coach?
Why though? That's their job as a doctor is confidentiality.
No, you guys talk about integrity and transparency within football and, you know, the trust.
So if you had a doctor at the Herald Sun that you had to report to as part of your work,
yes,
and then you were found to have anything in your system or an illness that you didn't want them to know about and your head of your department asked a question and you got everything you've ever done spilled on the table, you'd be pumped with that?
Well, don't you have a different relationship with your senior coach, though? Aren't they more invested, affected, committed in your development?
But some people have a good relationship. Others have just a purely working relationship. Yes, some of them have been father figures in the past, but a lot of those people who have taken the father figure role have been the ones who've almost helped and guided these players through a sticky time rather than trying to find out more information from what it sounds like so they can use it as a deterrent to pick and or select.
You go to any doctor at any place, you work any occupation, there's patient-doctor confidentiality. They sign off on it. It's 100% they're bound by it. So if a player, even if the AFL wants to change this law, if a player tells a doctor that they do not want this passed on, they cannot pass it on. That is doctor's code.
Yep.
And so they're going to then, what, if anyone is a club doctor at an AFL club, going to make them sign a code that says that's void in this club because it's not void anywhere in life.
And clearly, doctors have been maintaining that trust and confidentiality in the AFL, and we have the utmost respect for them. Let's take a listen to what Sam Mitchell said today. He is one of those coaches who wants more info.
In the position I'm in, you're really trying to make the best chances for your players to be the best that they can be. And if you have the information that you think will help you make the best for them, that's really a big part of your job as a senior coach. So whatever information we have and we need to make the players the best they can be, not just as players, but as people as well, I think that's pretty important.
We also take a listen to Ross Lyon, Leroy. He wanted more data also.
The only piece would be statistically, whatever's occurring, probably everyone would like to know. We've got a policy, it's a well-being, it's a medical policy. We're not going to identify anyone, but these are the numbers and this is the success or failure of the program. That's something that would probably put us all at ease.
So there's some interesting opinions flying around. Expect Luke Beveridge to be strong on it. His press conference is tomorrow morning.
There's still hair testing that you do in the immediate part of the first week of pre-season training, and that does get de-identified but passed on as a number to your coaches. So there's a decent indication of what your playing group is up to in their off-season. I know this is different to in-season, But you can draw a pretty clear correlation between if you've got a dead set group of rat bags or if you've got a group that's gone away and behaved themselves.
I think for my humble opinion is young for a young person, and these we're talking about young people, it's a really tough gig. I was young once, believe it or not, to go up to an adult and fess up to something like what we're talking about. The fear that I see is that we're, and we've seen it with some of the discussion during the week, particularly with some of the legends of our game, that some of these young people are taking the PI double five out of the system and just getting on with their life. But that won't be all of them. That won't be all of them. There may be a couple, but it won't be all of them. I think we've got to be very careful because we don't want any of these young people slipping through the cracks and such a serious issue because they are too afraid now to go to a doctor because, you know, and if it did go down that path, well, now the coach is going to go about it. Now someone else is going to know about it and someone else. So I'm not saying there's right or wrong in any argument, but we just have to be really, really careful how we handle
this. We're all getting older too. Sorry, Kate, but we've got hindsight to reflect on all our bad life decisions from the 18 to 25. When you're in that space as highly paid, highly sought after, people giving you drink cards, imagine the life that anyone in the general public would be leading. And I know it's supposed to be different, but you don't have the ability to self-reflect in those formative years.
And I've had a number of coaches, obviously, in my career, some of which I'd be more than happy to sit down and have conversations about this with, and some which I would absolutely not. And I think as a person, that's my decision to make if I want to talk to them about it or if I don't, because I feel like some were there for my welfare and some weren't. And that's my decision as a player.
And that is where there'll be have to be nuance in the policy to deal with those who are taking the mickey and to otherwise deal with those who have genuine problems.
What else is big news, Jay? We've spoken about this too. Our hair can fall out or be taken out and tested. What is else is going on in the world of footy?
Well, I'll tell you what is breaking news. Craig McRae has made one of his biggest selection calls ever, and that is leaving Jack Crisp out of the 22. So the man who's won two of the past three best and fairest, and I think have polled third in the Gary Ayres medal for last final series. Remember his grand final, his whole September was absolutely enormous. He will start tonight's game against Brisbane as the substitute, which is quite the shock for a very important player. He's been off, he's been fumbly, his score involvements and metre gains have halved. He's gone from the midfield to the halfback. Do you like this call, Kate?
I think, obviously, they've made the call too to manage Steele side bottom as well. So I think Craig McRae's sort of trying to take a fair bit of the heat off the younger players that are in there and still finding their feet this year who were thriving last year. And I think that's sort of the precedent that he's trying to set in this situation. He's also someone that is a big impact player. So if they lose someone early or if things need to be thrown around, he can play anywhere essentially. And that might be the thing that he needs to get his mojo back, to get that aggressiveness out there as well. So I think he's a good choice as a sub. I know it is a harsh call and you're correct, but I think if that's the way he wants to go about it, it sets a precedent and he's also someone can be injected in the game.
The other big watch tonight is Nick Dacos's position because we'll see that Finn McRae and Tommy Mitchell will both play tonight. So they're clearly that on-baller type along with Scott Pendlebury. So they're chocked with three on-ballers, I think, and Jordan Ngoe as well will play in the middle. That, to me, almost certainly sends Nick Dacos back to the back flank. They've been turning the ball. They've been butchering it in the back half, Daisy. They've been making so many turnovers and critical errors back there. Are you a fan of the move potentially to send him back to a halfback to try and slicken up that ball use off halfback?
I'd be a fan of putting him wherever he wants to go. Even if it is start him in the midfield, then you roll a forward up and he can just peruse that back half as almost a quarterback setting them up. The key will be when he's kicking the ball in. If he goes every time Brisbane score a point, you get the ball in his hands. Look for that Collingwood offense to really be injected because he has that ability, and we've seen it. You know, when we think about Brisbane Lions last year, Kadeen Coleman to look one way, hit a target somewhere else, and that just sells the cues to the defenders one way, and then something else happens, and that's when you find these big, vast pockets of space. I think it's a right move, but again, you can put him wherever you want. He can kick goals. He's a superstar for a reason.
And you can bet, Daze, if he takes a kick in, that's not the last possession he's having in that chain of play either.
The little give and go certainly bolsters the numbers. Another massive game, Barry Denner, for your Bombers on Saturday. Cut apart defensively again. Joey Montagna highlighted this beautifully in AFL 360 last night with some damning vision defensive efforts for the Bombers. They've been a poor defensive team, let's be honest, for the best part of 10 years. It's been the top priority for Brad Scott and certainly haven't got that uplift to this point of the new season. I know there have been some changes. Essendon been talking about the edge and the toughness and the fierceness at the contest. I just wonder whether the public admission of this has backfired or will backfire to some degree. Let's have a listen to Ross Lyon, the coach of the St Kilda side, who has noted the big talk coming out of Tullamarine.
Everyone wants to play a physical, on-edge brand and mental brand. But we all know it's easier said than done. We all like to get our teams to the line. We'd like to think we stood up in a really fierce contest with a lot of pressure on us last week. I'll talk about confidence comes from action. We know what's coming. It's going to be fierce, but it's a challenge we're up for.
Should Essendon have walked the walk before they talked the talk in this regard?
You're the fan, Baz. You are also the man that sees the game. But as a pure fan, what's your take on that?
Look, if they had have beaten the Swans, it would have been raved about that, look at what they've done. They've come out and said what they were going to do and they won the 4 points. The problem is you don't win the 4 points and then you end up with egg on your face and everyone has a little shot at you as Paps and everyone and the players themselves and those outside. So, no, it would have been better, I think, to keep it internal and perhaps just show it physically out in the ground when you're out there. And it's pretty quick to pick up. You guys pick up pretty quickly when, you know, a side's playing a fairly physical brand of football, maybe above them what they normally play. So, yeah, in hindsight, it would have been better just to keep it in-house.
I wonder if it's a master bit of coaching. Put it out there, right? Are you boys happy that I go with this, say we're going to play on edge? Because if I do, therefore, for the rest of the 20 rounds of this season, home and away, you're now accountable. You're going to be held accountable by us internally, but also the media, the public, your fans. If you don't bring that edge every week, that is the first thing that's going to be written about you. So there's a starting point. And if we go from there and we bring it, and then we can provide some assistance, offense, defense, etc., well, maybe it could be a differing point in how they go about the year.
What is toughness, though?
When Ross Lyon sat next to us on the
Sunday rub, when he talked about toughness, Daisy, he talked about putting your head over the footy. He talked about running into the last quarter. The bravado and jumping into a player's back, and I know Wright's probably a different case because he's not the aggressor anyway. I categorise toughness as something different as opposed to the push and shove.
Physical intent, though. You can see that. You can see when, like, a Sydney, and you think of them over the past probably decade or more, the same with the Cats. When you think about their brand, it is a hard physical at the ball, at the man. The Hawks, back when they were in their great era, it was hard, it was tough. It was very fair, but it was ferocious intent at ball and man.
Yeah, good chat. Just keep your eye on the Bombers on Saturday night.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Ah, yes.
Yes, oh yes, the Triple M Thursday rub for Thirsty Camel. Ah, yes, Daisy Thomas and Kate McCarthy, JZ Clark, absolutely on fire. It's time for the Triple M Seabus Super weekend prediction. Seabus Super making hard work pay off since 1984. And I'll throw in an early one. I reckon I'll be due for a couple of sherbets after this game. Responsibly, of course. Jay-Z, you want to kick us off?
Yeah, look, with the greatest of respect to North Melbourne's back line, and Toby Pink did do a very good job last week against the Fremantle forwards, including Jai Amos. I think he was almost statless to halftime. I do feel like Charlie Curnow is going to absolutely fill his boots in the Good Friday clash. Hopefully it is a competitive game, but I'll be shocked if the Coleman medalist doesn't have at least six. He's kicked plenty against the Kangaroos in his last two meetings over the last two games, so I'm thinking a big six for Charles.
Well, same token for me. I think the Hawks will be better this week. They will be better than they were last week, but I don't see anyone taking care of the big Tomahawk. I think he's going to kick four plus on the weekend, so I think he'll be up and about. I just don't see a matchup for him deep, and if they get the clearances, I don't think they'll be as bad centre clearance as they were last week, Hawthorn, but if they get anywhere near the centre clearance that they got Geelong, I think it'll come into Tomahawk and he'll kick a few for sure.
I'm going across to the Saturday night fixture, I believe it is. The Dockers taking on the Crows, and we've just welcomed our South Australian audience, so you will be up and about with this. I think the Crows go in there as heavy outsiders, and I think they can beat the Dockers. They'll get their season back on track. There's been little trends in the last quarters of their last two games. I'm liking what I'm starting to see. They'll be able to produce it for longer on a big ground, and the Crows will get a nice win to kickstart their year.
I tell you what, you mentioned Tommy Hawkins, 350 this weekend. He's eyeing off 800 goals. It's funny when a career's going on, but as it gets closer, you think, jeepers, he's had an amazing amazing career.
And that's the other reason I think he'll kick a few is because late in the game, if they've got a win or comfortably in front, they'll be looking to kick it to him to get him a few celebration snags in his 350th for sure.
Yeah, they'll have a fair chance of that too. Their last halves in their last couple of games, they've given up 10 goals 2 to Essendon and 8 goals 4 against the D. So there'll be a big chance for him to fill his boots. You just got to love the way he goes about it though. 3 or 4 years ago, just before COVID, I think it was, people were questioning whether he was good enough to be in the side or if he was just holding down a spot. Since then, and obviously the games have gotten longer as well, but the contribution he's making still and the focal point up forward, he'd be first picked in every side. You go in with a 3 or 4 goal head start every time he's on the park.
Jay-Z, I think the teams have come in for the rest of the weekend's round of football throughout Easter. Any surprises?
Yeah, some big changes. So for the Blues, we just mentioned in that game against North Melbourne, the Good Friday clash, stronger down back, Carlton. So Marchbank and Wiedering comes in. Elijah Hollins also from Gold Coast out. Young, Kemp and Cunningham. So they look really solid down back, the Blues. Essendon, St Kilda. For the Bombers, some big ins. Redmond, Parrish and Jake Kelly come in. Out Sardis, right with that suspension, of course. And Young Davey. For St Kilda, Butler and Caminiti. Young Angus Hasty come in. Out King Henry and Mason Wood, who's busted his collarbone in that heavy collision against Collingwood. Melbourne versus Port Adelaide. The good news is Clayton Oliver will play despite dislocating his finger at training yesterday. He was seen wearing a bit of a handguard today. Not sure whether he'll take that out into the field. It could be an option for him in that one against Port Adelaide. Steve May, we know, will be out with that broken rib. Melbourne confident he will only miss one, but Jake Lever has been named. So the D's still pretty strong despite some injury issues. Hey, just quickly on the Hawks, the racism scandal which has plagued the game for the past 18 months. Some hope that late into the night yesterday, there was potentially some movement around that. The parties have now 60 days. Essentially, we know the Hawthorn former players who are unhappy about their treatment, and three senior key former Hawthorn officials in Chris Fagan, Alistair Clarkson and Jason Bird, of course, will have now 60 days to try and come to some sort of conciliatory agreement where they can find some middle ground or peace over that issue. If they can't over the next 2 months, then it's headed to the federal court. And I'm not sure anyone wants that. But late yesterday, potentially some small movement, but still a lot of water to flow under that bridge. Day one, I believe, wasn't a lot of movement.
Yes, it seemed, obviously, and for obvious reasons, it seemed quite tense yesterday, Jay.
Yeah, I mean, clearly it's been a really tough time for everyone involved. I think we all feel empathy for largely all the people involved. So Alistair Clarkson and Chris Fagan. I interviewed Chris Fagan in September last year. We spoke for 2 hours involving this matter. And at one stage, he was crying. That's how moved and hurt and he was by it. He said he was bewildered and shocked, stunned by the allegations. And he's a man with one of the best reputations in the game over 30 years. So it has rocked him to the core, these allegations. But he says that when his head hits the pillow at night, he sleeps comfortably about what happened back in the day. But obviously, they are very serious allegations. We hope everyone finds the resolution thereafter.
Absolutely. I think that sums it up perfectly, Jay-Z, and hopefully it doesn't get to that next stage.
The sounds of the footy starting to envelop the great ground here at the Gabba.
Hang on. If we're talking sounds, yes, and this might have been an off-air conversation, but yes, we'll happily bring it on air in true Triple M fashion. What did you say your favourite sound in the world was, Baz?
Yes, I did say that off air. Well, at the moment, it's the sound of the rope when it clicks on the side of the that separates the front of the plane to the back of the plane. When that rope clicks, I've fallen in love with that sound.
Just to that's separate the people's caller, you from that the is. Commoners.
Yeah. I know. I've changed.
That is now separating me from you, Barry.
Yeah, I know.
You get your own toilet.
You
I'm
do.
Cleaning one down the
well,
back.
Well, I count at the front. There's 8 of us, and at the back there's about 300.
One of my favourite things on a plane is when someone from the commoners tries to go up the front, and
yes,
they have to awkwardly tell them, no, sorry, this isn't your bathroom. You're down the back with the rest of them. This one's just for Barry Denner.
And Barry usually is the one turning them around and pointing.
Personally, you're out of here. Never been up the front. I'm not sure what it's like up there.
Well, it's all right for you guys. Try to live with the name Barry. Anyway.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M. Rocks footy.
Ah, what a big game we've got here tonight. Massive at the Gabba. The Brisbane Lions take on the Pies. Neither have had a win. We're in round 3. And all the talk around it, it all comes to a conclusion in a couple of hours' time. Daisy Thomas in the house, JZ Clark, Kate McCarthy. Let's go down Boundary Side where we welcome Brett Thomas, a very special guest, assistant coach from the Brisbane Lions, in Cameron Bruce.
Yes, thank you, Baz. Cam, appreciate your time so close to the bounce. Brandon Stasevic, 100 games tonight. Given that Kadeem Coleman and Con McKenna are both out, will you look to get some more ball into his hands and some more drive off half back?
Yeah, look, he's been, you know, what a credit to him and his work ethic, and he epitomises what you want in a footballer in terms of doing things for the team. And so it's great for him to get to that milestone. And yeah, look, we want to make up for the loss of those two players with, you know, Stas will be one of the players that will certainly need to lift his offensive output. But we've got others that can also help in that space.
And Jack Payne, what do you want to see from him tonight, given he was dropped for the Freo game but earns his way back tonight?
Yeah, we just want him to compete with a great ferocity, make every contest really, really tough and hard and win and neutralise as many contests as possible.
And obviously we know, Cam, the speak about the ground ball concern, so negative 13.5 per game at the moment, so that's... And clearances, you're 17th at the moment. Obviously, a little bit of discrepancies at the moment with stats and rankings with that extra round at the start. But that was your one wood last year. You were ranked first for clearances. What have you done sort of during the week to assess that? What's gone wrong and what can we look for tonight?
Yeah, you're all over it. I mean, obviously, you know, we've only played the two games. We won clearance against Carlton and had a reasonable loss against Fremantle. So, you know, with that sample size, you can obviously, you know, stats don't always paint the picture, but we do have areas that, particularly in our forward half, that we needed to address. We gave the players some great clarity in terms of what the technical side of the game was and those improvements needed. There's mental side of things as well, relaxing and being a bit hesitant at times, which has affected those numbers. But we feel like we've given the players some clarity and we certainly need to be strong in that area to make sure we beat a quality side like Collingwood.
Cam, did you look back on the grand final? Did you touch on it? Did you review it? Did you watch any of it this week at all?
We watched parts of it, like pieces of play that were certainly relevant to the areas of the game that we need to improve based on the last couple of weeks. We obviously did the main review post grand final last year, which was really productive, and our boys came back with a great determination to attack pre-season in a really strong manner. We thought we had done that. Parts of this first two games, you know, showed that we had a really good pre-season. We've just had a few little lapses that has been costly. So hopefully tonight we put a four-quarter performance together and we're well aware of the areas of the game that we need to nail against the Pies.
Obviously one of the strengths of the Pies is the superstar in Nick Dacos, expected to get across halfback. How much planning have you done in and around that, Kenneth?
Yeah, we are aware that he's a dangerous player wherever he plays and the drive that he can give him regardless of where he plays. So we need to make sure that we limit his... particularly the outside ball that he wins, his handball receives and his overlap. He's a really threatening player, and you know, along with Pendlebury, they can give him pretty good drive. We expect one of them to play halfback tonight.
I am having a look through the binoculars here. This is a two-part question. One, how good has the suntan been for the top of the Bonds? And two, is that turtle wax on it?
Well,
it's shimmering.
Mate, you know, like players get the performance cuts pre-game. I went and got a bit of a reverse fade tonight just for the melon to be glowing. Look, it's, you've got to make the most of it, mate. Hey, how are those chompers of yours going? Are they all good?
No, they're all good. They're shiny. They're not quite as shiny as your forehead, but I reckon between us we might blind someone tonight.
Yes, fair to say the Queensland sun helps.
Hey, Cam, it's been a different, potentially tricky week for Chris Fagan, obviously. A lot of emotion around his date in the Human Rights Commission, seeing the former Hawthorn players. He obviously didn't conduct training or wasn't at the football club day before yesterday, obviously. How's it been? How is he? You've obviously got right around him. How's he cope with it all?
Yeah, he's been really composed. He's obviously been dealing with it for a long time and is it's just looking after itself. So he trusts, and like most senior coaches, you know, have that great confidence in their assistant coaches to be able to run the program if and when they are unavailable to attend. And we did that. We had a really good session on Tuesday. and he's back into the fold with a great meeting, and he's fired up certainly for a really strong performance, and it's got the boys wound up, that's for sure.
And Cam, you've been up there for a couple of years now in Brizzy. As a Brizzy girl myself, how much are you loving it? It's so much better than Melbourne, isn't it?
Yeah, look, the family have certainly acclimatised, and we do love it. Actually got the place down in Melbourne on the market, so it's pretty hard to see us getting back to Melbourne anytime soon. We certainly do love it. The kids are love the lifestyle. The family love the lifestyle. There's great people up here, so we're really enjoying it.
Hey, Cameron, before we let you go, we know you spent a bit of time at Carlton with our man Daisy. Of course, he's got the big fight coming up against Dane Swan. I spoke to him in the car on the way here. He said, Baz, I'm not just going to beat him, I'm going to humiliate him. What are your thoughts on how he's going to go?
Well, prior to getting his teeth done, I would have thought he would have been all in, but I reckon he might be a little bit concerned about getting a little smack there. So I hope he doesn't overprotect that without protecting everywhere else. Look, he's, you know, I know Daisy's, he's got some real toughness in him, and I'm just worried that, they're good mates. Are they genuinely going to give it everything they've got?
Yes.
Good on you, Cameron. I think that, Dace, you're going to give it everything you got?
We're going to go hell for leather, Cameron. I did just jump on realestate.com. I tell you what, $7.5 million to buy something nice up here. That is a card, my goodness.
Well, maybe you've got some spare coin lying around. I reckon you'd be able to bloody buy it off.
Not after the chompers.
We'll speak off air. How much for cash?
Good luck tonight, Cameron. Cameron Bruce, assistant coach of the Brisbane Lions. JC, just before we let you go, Tigers, you got a bit of news?
Yeah, they're in an interesting spot, isn't it? Much intrigue about what they've got to do with their list, obviously, after that magnificent Premiership three-peat. They've gained Timmy Taranto and Jacob Hopper, who's been out with a bit of a knee issue, but now fears about the no man's land being stuck in a bit of a middle ground. So all eyes on Liam Baker. He's been chased by West Coast and Fremantle. Very versatile, hard player. The Dockers and Eagles very keen to lure him home. So Richmond are going to have a decision there. Do they need to keep him as a prime sort of player in their ability to go forward, or do they look to get a top 20 draft pick potentially for him? Jack Graham is the other one. He's a free agent, holding off on contract talks for now. So they'll face interesting crossroads for Richmond, what they do with Baker and Graham. Do they keep them for the next couple of years, or do they look to get some more draft capital, because they have only had one top 15 pick other than Josh Gibkiss in the past 8 years. So it is going to be an interesting spot for the Tigers. They prepare to take on the best team in the competition at the moment in Sydney.
Superb from you again tonight, JC. You'll be doing your usual, heading into the back streets and alleyways around town tonight. All the best.
Thank you, Barry.
Kate McCarthy heading out on the tear.
No, I'll just be straight home to the Dogs. Thank Fantastic. You. And watching this on the couch, cheering on the Roys.
We have different lifestyles, don't we?
The Triple M Footy Thursday Rub for Thirsty Camel. Hop on down to Thirsty Camel Bottle Shops for unseriously good Easter deals. Drink responsibly.
Fareem Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.